You're listening to an edited version of the live Voices of Montana statewide radio program. Find us on Facebook and subscribe for further podcasts wherever you get your audio on demand. I'm Tom Schultz, host of the program. Thanks for joining us, and please feel free to contact me at studio@voicesofmontana.com. Voices EDU today. Education comes in many forms, right? There's a lot of us that are from the School of Hard Knocks, which we all attend, I think, but some of us don't graduate from. I feel like I'm in that boat, in that classroom all the time. But we discuss education frequently on the show because it's so important. It has such a high value in our society. It's the cornerstone of opportunity, I think, anyway. And, you know, I talk about opportunity a lot. I think in America, folks have opportunities, and it's a doorway to many things. It can be security, freedom, prosperity, meaning. So in the conversation about education today, we're going to get to know the newly appointed chancellor of Montana State University Billings. That is Dr. Stephanie Hickswah on Voices of Montana.
It's time for the fastest hour in radio from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana with Tom Schultz. Call in today at 866-627-5483 or text a comment or question to 781-627-5483. Now, here's your host, Tom Schultz.
So no full-fledged and often fledgling Montanan. Give me that next time, okay?
A little bit more?
Here's Tom Schultz, a full-fledged and often fledgling Montanan.
Okay. Whatever you say, you're the boss.
Yeah, thanks. All right, whatever. Yeah, Eric Young, our Nubius in-studio engineer. Tom Schultz here. Thanks again. 22 years strong. That is 2 decades working on 3, and very happy to have you making us a part of your Montana mornings, an objective perspective, get the policymakers on, newsmakers, and hopefully, you know, get the ball rolling on solutions. It's part of what we're trying to do here. Today, it's just fun. It's about education. We do Voices EDU on a regular basis. Like I say, very, very important education, high value in our society. It's the cornerstone of opportunity, I believe. And that's why we frequently talk. It comes in many forms. But often it's in that classroom setting where we see those opportunities emerge and our interests emerge. And today, it's just a pleasure to welcome the newly appointed chancellor of Montana State University Billings, MSU Billings, and that's Dr. Stephanie Hickswah. Good morning, Dr. Hickswah. How are you doing?
Good morning, Tom. Thanks for having me this morning.
Thank you for being here. Appreciate that. Congratulations, chancellor at Montana State University Billings. Appointed in January, 3 months into the job. How's the office look now?
3 months into the job, it's been pretty exciting. I tell you, starting a new job in COVID times has been interesting to meet people and get to know people in the community. But through radio, we don't have to worry about any of those things, right?
Yeah.
the job has just been going great. I am loving the community of Billings. Most recently moved from Powell, Wyoming, but I worked at Miles Community College as the president there for 7 years. So I spent some time in Miles City. And so I just love this part of Montana. And I tell you what, Tom, the faculty and staff at MSU Billings are just amazing and doing amazing things that nobody even knows about to help our students. And they're just going above and beyond. It's really inspiring.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who are involved with MSU Billings, they're in education for the right reasons, I think. And it's been underappreciated, although the folks who go there, they just love MSU. Like Eric. Eric is one here in our studio, our newest assistant news producer. Loved MSU.
That's fantastic to know. You know, you were talking about education being the cornerstone of opportunity, and it really is, and it's an opportunity for all kinds of different people from all different walks of life. And that's something that has been really fun for me to witness on campus. You're right. People just love it here. And they aren't necessarily all traditional age students right out of high school. We have a lot of those kind of students, but we have students that have young kids. They are taking care of their older parents. They are working full time. They are driving in from the reservations to take classes. We have a Native American Achievement Center to help support Native American students. We have a growing group of Hispanic students. We have curriculum from our College of Business and Education and Liberal Arts, and then City College for students to learn trades and get a job, you know, after only a year or two. And it's just for all walks of life, no matter what you want to go into. We have support systems for those students.
I think that, I think a lot of the education communities in Montana are like that. That's why I believe we're in a very special state.
Yeah.
How is it managing, especially now we talked about high flex classes and that's the sort of the hybrid model. But as you said, you have quite a diverse, student body. How is it managing all of that through the pandemic? Because they're all going to have different kinds of needs.
That's where our faculty have really stepped up and excelled. I grew up in Dillon, and I remember Eastern Montana College as being that alternative delivery provider expert in the state. And we are still that today. And so we have really stepped it up with the pandemic, and we're going back to normal operations gradually here. But these high flex courses that you mentioned have really pushed the envelope, and I think it's the future of higher ed. What it is you are able to attend class in person or via technology. So we use something that's called WebEx, but many people are familiar with Zoom platform. So it's much like the Zoom platform. So students can be home. Students can be on a tractor out on the field and be able to listen in and participate in class. It's a really, really exciting delivery modality. And with the COVID restrictions, we've been able to ramp that up. And since I came in January, we are reconfiguring some offices on campus so we can develop a Center for Teaching and Learning to focus on best practices for teaching, mm-hmm. and particularly teaching this high flex modality so that students have options for how they want to access education. And you're exactly right, Tom. Because of the diversity of our student body, they need different ways of being able to access us. They need information on how to finance college, and we have lots of scholarships and financial aid available for students. And they need those student support systems to be able to be retained and graduate. And that's where our focus is, and that's what really makes us special.
Appreciate the best practices, but it's not all peaches and cream either. I mean, there's been research out there, especially at the elementary level and the younger grades. It might be different in the higher education system, but there are drawbacks to not being in the classroom setting. And again, it doesn't always work for everybody, but what's the monitoring process? What is the process of identifying challenges and overcoming those challenges when it comes to this hybrid model?
That's a really good question, because it is hard and there are challenges. The nice thing about the high flex model is it allows students to choose what works best for them. So once we open back up this fall after being closed in the spring, students had the option of whether they wanted to come face-to-face or access it virtually. So like you said, everybody's different and has different needs. But the challenges are identifying those students when they're starting to disengage. So whether it's disengaging online or disengaging face-to-face, when they stop coming to class, when they're not turning in assignments. And we have NETs for that. Our Academic Success Center is working really hard with the faculty to make sure that when some of those things are happening, we have an early alert system so that faculty can let staff know and we can reach out to those students and help them. And different students need different things. You know, we've been hearing a lot about the mental health challenges with COVID and depression issues with some of the isolation. And so we hired another counselor on campus to be able to reach out to those students. And we are doing virtual visits as well as live visits. So there are certainly challenges, and we are dealing with the changing environment every day. We're excited about fall semester, and we've been open this whole time, mm-hmm. but more student activities and more events on campus. The Yellowstone Art Museum recently contacted me, and we're going to do summer fair on campus to bring people on campus outside and enjoy. So we want the community to start coming back. We want students to be on campus as much as possible, but we still want to offer them those alternatives, whether it's COVID or whether it's responsibilities at home or work commitments that they have to keep.
MSU Billings Chancellor Dr. Stephanie Hickswa is with us here on Voices of Montana, EDU. Along with students, I know that the teachers also have some concerns, and not to overlook that as well. And so you also have to, I guess, make accommodations for those who, especially during this pandemic, I mean, or they're older, they may have underlying conditions that want to continue to teach but also have health concerns. What's that conversation like at MSUB?
So that conversation has evolved certainly since last spring, and we have created protocols so that we have a really safe environment, certainly the cleaning protocols and the mask protocols on campus. John Felton from Riverstone told us that we were one of the safest places in Billings because of those protocols. And you're right, we want our faculty and staff as well as our students to feel comfortable. So our next step is to offer a vaccination clinic on campus next week. We are offering that to all of our faculty and staff and students. And so we're hoping that people will take advantage of that clinic so they are fully vaccinated, immunized, so that they can be ready to come back in the fall. The semester's almost over, and we have really not had any sort of outbreak this semester at all. Only a couple of people here and there have been quarantined this semester. So I'm really pleased with our protocols, and we need to make sure that our employees and students feel comfortable as we start to go back to normal. And part of the way to do that is to get everybody vaccinated.
How much of a burden has it been? Because academic, education, there's a certain amount of pushing forward, getting outside the box. There's also a certain amount of using what works, so to speak. And I'm curious, how far back do you think that, or maybe just open up doors. Did this pandemic affect higher education?
Well, it's been a huge burden, and we were making it up as we went, like everybody.
You're right.
As everything changed, it was really hard and really taxing, and people put in a lot of hours and a lot of time making sure the environment was safe and that we didn't have a learning gap, and that we were able to maintain the same academic rigor that our students expect and that the faculty expect of themselves. So it has been hard. One of the hardest things I've done in my career. But at the same time, like you just said, there's opportunities that come out of all kinds of challenges. Some of those opportunities have been the team building that I've seen. I'm brand new, and it's thrown me into an environment where I've got to know staff that I normally wouldn't work with.
We're going to come back after a break here, Doctor, and talk about that, and also talk about the Yellowstone Science and Health Building. I think the pandemic put it off schedule, but it's set to open up here soon. So that's ahead here at Voices EDU today. Raised in Dillon, Montana, a couple of sons, along with Scott Hickswa, who's a consulting forester. It is Dr. Stephanie Hickswa, MSU Billings, new chancellor, appointed just this last January. previously served at Northwest College in Powell. She mentioned that as well. And also Miles Community College, cool. A couple of things I see here, and maybe I don't know if it's a if it's worth mentioning about the glass ceiling, so to speak. I don't know if that's proverbial glass ceiling, but you were the first woman to hold the position of chancellor since the university's founding in 1927. How is that? Is that significant to you, or in today's age, maybe it's just something we put down on paper?
It has been pretty cool. I was the first woman president at Miles Community College as well, and it's not as significant to me as what I hope it is to young women who are looking at going into this career in the future. You know, the whole thing of if I can see her, I can be her. So I'm certainly the first chancellor, but I hope I'm not the last female chancellor at MSUB.
Yeah. You know, one thing before we get to the new science building, which is pretty dang cool project.
Pretty dang cool, yeah.
Yeah, as we're talking about how the pandemic has affected education, also a big part of the university experience and the way that they connect with the community is athletics. Talk about the athletic program at MSU Billings.
So we were talking about, you know, some of the burdens that that COVID has had on the university, and athletics has certainly been a challenge because it's hard to play basketball with a mask on and social distancing. You just can't do that.
Hard.
So we have needed to put in some protocols, and we've worked really closely with the GNAC conference to make sure that we are complying with all of those things. But as many of the listeners may have heard last week, our athletic director is going to be moving into the private sector and doing some different things. So we have the opportunity. I'm disappointed that she's going to be leaving, but we have the opportunity to hire a new athletic director and look at what athletics will be in the future, you know, with a new leadership. The coaches are in place, and we have some really, really strong, powerful coaches, but they need a leader. You know, it's a coach of the coaches. And so that's one of the challenges that I'm looking forward to in the next several months, of getting a new person in and training them to our culture of athletic excellence and moving that program forward into the future.
Also moving that new science building forward. I think that COVID-19, the pandemic had some delay in that, but fundraising had been going on, you know, many years prior to you, accepting this position here. Let's talk about that because it's, I understand, a 30,000 square foot expansion, a total of 80,000 square feet, and it's building is an important part of the experience there, isn't it?
It really is. You know, you want high quality facilities for the high quality education that we're offering, and facilities just enhance that. And you're right, this new science and health building is so exciting to see it come together. And you know, I've been pretty pleased. The pandemic did not hold us back too much. We were able to get students to help move you know, things out of the old building and help set up temporary labs while the construction was going on. And so the pandemic may have helped us in that respect, because those students might not have been available otherwise. But the contractor has been working this whole time, and so it's all coming together. We're hoping everything is on schedule for an exciting grand opening here close to when school starts. One of the things that this building really offers, because of our focus on our health science programs, you know, we know that we in Billings are a regional corridor for healthcare. We want to make sure to support our community in offering the programs that they need employees. And so we are expanding our offerings in those areas. And so we need those facilities to be able to do that. But our students expect cutting edge kinds of opportunities here. And I'm so excited that just last week we found out we have a Goldwater scholar on our campus. His name is James Unzaga, and he won this prestigious science scholarship because of his research in chemistry. So we're so proud of our students. And like I said, we have students from all different backgrounds. Many of them are the first ones in their families to ever go to college. Many of them have financial challenges that without financial aid and scholarships, they wouldn't be able to go to college. And so to be able to have a facility with these high quality, lab spaces and classroom spaces with integrated technology really can be a game changer for our students. And I so appreciate what our donors have stepped up to contribute to this building. I think everybody's going to be really excited to see it when it opens.
Got a headline breakup coming here. We'll come on back and talk with Dr. Stephanie Hicks-Waugh, the new chancellor at Montana State University Billings, MSU Billings, about the connection to community for academia, and also what everybody talks about too. What is your vision? What are your priorities for Montana State B? Or MSU Billings, I think is how we want to put it. We'll do that in just a bit. Brian Bennett has headline news. Bachelor's degree from the University of Montana, a master's degree in higher education from Montana State University, a doctorate in educational administration from the University of Texas at Austin, and now the new chancellor at MSU Billings, Dr. Stephanie Hicks-Waugh here on Voices of Montana. And Dr. Hicks-Waugh, I appreciate you being here. I wanted to ask this question about, because I've seen your background, that you stay connected in various ways, the Rotary Club, the Chamber of Commerce, the Powell Economic Partnership, and in previous years, education, the community. There are times when I think those in academia are criticized, whether it's fair or not, for living too much in a bubble. Do you think that that's the case at times, that it can be isolated? And then talk about the value of educators and administrators staying connected in various ways in the community.
You know, the bubble thing that you talk about, the, Ivy Tower, Ivory Tower on the Hill kind of thing. It's because we're so busy dealing with students, we're not able to get out, I think. And we get so excited about what we're doing with students and in the labs or in the classrooms or with their clubs. But as you say, it's really important for us to connect with the community so that we know what the community needs. So I was talking about healthcare a little bit ago, and we are looking at a new sonography program. We're presenting it to the Board of Regents for approval because that's what our medical community is saying we need. We partnered with MSU Great Falls to be able to offer respiratory therapy in Billings because of the uptick in need for that area. So it's really important that our faculty and staff and chancellor be involved in the community, but also we want to give back. We enjoy so much of what we do here, but all the happiness research shows that by volunteering and giving back to your community is the best way to avoid depression and really excel in life. And so we want to make sure that we can do that.
Yeah.
Also, if we're going to be an education leader in the region, we have to touch base with the people that are going to enroll here or the people that are going to employ our graduates. So it's just real, real key. And I've believed that, my whole career, and I've really lived that. Like you said, I've been involved in the Rotary and the Chamber and various volunteer organizations over the years.
This is not enough time for this question, to be fair. But, it's almost cliche, quote unquote. We got about a minute left here. What is your vision for MSU Billings?
Oh, yeah, and 1 minute isn't enough.
I
but
know.
Like I said, I want us to be that education leader in the region. I want us to be the place for Eastern Montana Community College students to transfer here and really excel. I want us to be connected to the community and just really, we are so much potential here, and I'm going to be here for a while, Tom. I'm planning to stay, and we can just work together with the community and the region and Eastern Montana to bring students in and help them meet their dreams.
Great. That means we'll be knocking on your door.
You're welcome to come anytime, anybody.
Yeah, thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's a college of about 4,000 health professions in science, liberal arts, social sciences, business education, and of many forms, many types and sizes. Dr. Stephanie Hicks-Waugh, best of luck to you there, okay? Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me today, Tom. It's great to be on.
We'll chat again down the road. Voices EDU is something we do on a regular basis. MSU Billings Chancellor, Dr. Stephanie Hickswa, going to come on back to some business I need to kind of complete from yesterday's show about tracking misconceptions for COVID-19. Also, a few things I want to get out from text messages. Don't want to leave those lingering too long. So we'll do that. We come on back with more here from Montana for Montana, Voices of Montana.